Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. On the show today, I have Christina Nicholson. She is a lovely woman who used to be a TV anchor and now runs her own PR agency and has just started a new business during lockdown that helps people get onto podcasts. I do have a lot of people asking me about how to get onto more podcasts, and they're just very interested in how podcast industry works. So I feel like a lot of you will be very interested in this episode just to hear more about these things. And we really cover a lot of her best tips around podcasting, running a successful podcast, and getting onto other podcasts, which a lot of people are doing these days lately. So I feel that this should be a pretty useful episode for many of you, and just a interesting insight into the industry if you aren't in it quite as deeply as I already happen to be. So I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So in summary, Christina Nicholson, awesome human, and lots of insights on podcast and PR. So you have like a lot of experience in this whole sort of PR and podcasting. What would you say are your three biggest tips for someone trying to get exposure?
I think if you're pitching, and this can go for anything, if you're pitching TV, newspaper, magazine, but I'll talk specifically about podcasts. But again, it's pretty relative to all of the media outlets. Three tips. I would say the first one is to be newsworthy, because the biggest mistake people make is they just want to promote themselves. So when they send an email, they're saying, this is my business, this is my product, this is my service, this is why I'm amazing, this is why you should have me on your show. And it's not the media's job to give you a free commercial, Sam. It's not your job to have me on your podcast to give me a free commercial. Now, podcasts are a little different than the other media outlets, because in podcasts, you're bringing somebody on 9 times out of 10 to share their expertise. So a podcast pitch is going to be a little bit more about you and your expertise, but I'm sharing my expertise not to benefit myself, but to help your listeners. As a side effect, yes, it benefits me. As a side effect with any media that you earn, yes, it's going to benefit you. But when you make your first pitch, like, look at me, benefit me, I'm looking for a benefit, it's a turnoff to everybody. And it's very obvious. And I can give you an example of some bad pitches that I've received. Sam, I'm sure you could share some of your own. But I've had people pitch me and they'll say, I have a book coming out. I want to come on your podcast and promote my book. And I want this podcast to be released on this day to coincide with my book release. And it's like, do I even know you? Why is it my job to promote your book? Instead, tell me the information inside your book. You wrote a book about how to sleep better, and you're a sleep expert, and these are the three tips that you could offer. I would have you on my podcast to talk about that. And then as a side effect, people would get to know, like, and trust you, and then go buy your book. But when you pitch me all about your book and your book launch and the dates and the times, like, it's a turnoff. So the first tip is to be newsworthy, and that means not being promotional. Those kind of go hand in hand. The second tip is to keep it short and sweet. Like, the last thing any of us need is another email in our inbox. So if I'm going to open up an email from you, I don't want it to be longer than 3 paragraphs. Like, get to the point, make it easy to read. Give me bullet points. Like, if you're pitching a podcast, you should pitch talking points. If you're pitching morning TV, you should pitch talking points. Make it easy to read, you know, with spaces in between sentences, with bullet points. Don't give me a whole bunch of text to read, because I don't have time for that. And then my third tip, and this is a tip for after you earn the media exposure, and I'm sharing this one because it leads to more media exposure and it leads to you doing more business. And that is sharing the media you earn on your social media, with your email list, on your website. The biggest mistake people make after they earn media exposure is they do nothing. and they don't tell anybody about it. They think, oh, great, I was on TV, everybody saw it, I'm done. Or, oh, great, I was on Sam's podcast, all of his listeners saw it, and I'm done. That's actually not how it works. Where you're going to see the profit from the publicity is you sharing it on your platforms. I wrote for Inc. magazine for 2 years. I got clients from writing for Inc. magazine, but I did not get clients from people reading the articles on Inc. magazine. I got the clients from people who followed me on LinkedIn. They saw me share the articles on my LinkedIn and they would send me a message and they say, hey, I see you write for Inc. magazine. How can I do that? How can I get an Inc. magazine? The profit from the publicity comes from you sharing it. I call it doing PR on your PR. And the media outlet appreciates this. Like, if I'm going to be a guest on your podcast, if you're going to take the time to invite me on to have a 30-minute conversation and introduce me to your listeners, then I'm going to take the time to share that episode with my audience. I'm going to share it on my website and with my social media, and I'm going to tag you while I'm doing it so you see that I'm grateful for the media opportunity. And this is something that 9 out of 10 times people don't do, and it really hurts them in the future and they don't even realize it.
Yeah, it's a really good point. It's just so annoying as a sort of podcast host when you kind of have to call people and they don't bother to do that, but it kind of cuts off their own abilities and things as well. And you're like, oh, it would be so good if everyone knew that. And certainly like myself, as in, I can be on a few podcasts, but it makes such a difference when I do promote, like, oh, this is me talking about this with this other person. Like, people go, oh, wow, is this really cool, Sam? And like, actually want to go and hear me in other places. And like, I get a lot more from actually promoting that I was doing other things. And yeah, it's just such a useful thing.
It's true. And it people look at you, like, say you're on a podcast and there's some people in your audience who don't know that podcast or don't listen to it. But by them seeing that you're saying, look at me, I'm on this podcast, you have a new authority with them. You have new credibility with them. And I have been told by people in traditional media, by writers of magazines and the online outlets, I have been told by them, because your client didn't share the last article that we put him in, we're not going to put him in the next one. Yeah, so yeah. It is a big sticking point. Whenever we send a media hit to a client, we say, here it is, share it on social media, and tag the journalist so they see you sharing it on social media. Because if you do not share it and they see you're not sharing it, they will not go back to you for future coverage.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of common things. And if you do have any way to sort of promote it further yourself, like if you're like a writer or something and you kind of write a lot of blogs on things, it's a perfect opportunity to say, oh, when you're pitching someone, okay, I'm going to share it. I'm going to write like an article about like the things that we cover in your podcast and like promote you more, because it really excites the person who you're pitching to straight away. And then when you have a backlog of the things that you've done with that, it just buys you so much kudos. And it's sort of, people make things so hard for themselves with the pitches by like not bothering to put a bit more work in, but you can kind of have such a good success rate. If you just do a little bit more work on the things that you do, you can get like 10 times more with a lot less effort than just trying to email a million people and being uninteresting. Cool. Thanks. What would you say are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people do in terms of PR? Because I mean, we kind of highlighted a lot of tips and mistakes there, but I feel like you might have a few others.
Yeah, I can talk about some mistakes. I think one mistake is writing press releases. Everybody, I mean, I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people send me messages on Instagram and LinkedIn, and they'll ask me questions about press releases. And I'll tell them, just don't write a press release. That's what you did in the 70s. That's what you did in the 80s and the 90s. It doesn't work like that anymore. Press releases, I can tell you, you ask any journalist, the last thing they want is a press release in their inbox because they're long, they're overly promotional, and they're boring. Instead of writing and sending a press release, put 5 sentences together. 5 sentences on what the story is, why the audience should care, and how you can help them deliver that on a silver platter. Because podcast hosts, journalists, reporters, they're all overworked and underpaid. So the easier you can make their job, the more likely you are to be used as a part of that story. So just keep it short and sweet. One mistake, the press release thing. Just because that's the way it's always been done doesn't mean that's the way it's done in 2020. So that's the good news, because you don't have to spend your time writing a long, boring press release. But that's a mistake. People still just don't get that. The second mistake is not connecting on social media and building a relationship before you pitch. I am much more likely to have somebody on my podcast if they follow me on Twitter, and if we go back and forth on Twitter or LinkedIn or Instagram, some kind of platform. I say Twitter because that's where a lot of the journalists are. That's where the media hangs out. That's where they have their conversations. So I think a big mistake is just pitching somebody and not knowing them, not trying to create a relationship with them. And mistake number three, which helps you with fixing mistake number two, is don't pitch 50 people at once. Take your time and go person by person. Be specific in your pitches. If I get an email and it is very obvious to me, and let me tell you, like, you're not fooling anybody. It's very obvious you're sending the same thing and you're BCCing 50 other people at the same time, I'm going to delete you right away because I know you're just blasting things out there and crossing your fingers and hoping for the best. So a big mistake is people doing that. Like, take your time. With podcast clout, for example, you can learn all about the podcast, the host, the different episodes, what they talk about. You can find them on their website. You can find their social media. Like, it's just so easy to make connections with people that if you go one by one, and if you say, I'm going to pitch three people a day, by the end of the month, you've pitched nearly 100 people and they were personalized pitches. They're going to get you so much further. So I think those were the three mistakes, and those were the way to fix those mistakes. You would have so much better luck than just blasting everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind if someone hasn't listened to the podcast. It makes a big difference, but like, you can kind of tell when someone say they've listened, but they haven't. Mm-hmm. And they kind of say, oh yeah, I love the podcast, and I think I should talk about this. And you're like, no. Whereas if they sort of, I prefer them to say like, I haven't listened to the podcast, but like, I will listen to four episodes. I love the topic. Like that, and I will be really present, and I really like will put the work into like be a great guest on your show if you'll have me, and like you can respect that because it's just honest. Whereas it's just so obvious when people have just sort of pitched something, they go, "Oh yeah, excited about the podcast name here," and then you're like, "Yeah, it's great. I love mindsets. Anyway, I'll be great." And you're like, "Oh no, mate."
And it's so obvious because 9 times out of 10, you can tell they copied and pasted because it's in a different font. They don't even fix that.
Yeah, that's funny. Whereas, yeah, as in, like, I certainly notice on social, if someone sort of tags like a quote from me, like in one of my episodes, like, oh, I love this bit of Sam Harris, and then kind of later, like, sends me a message being like, I saw that you tagged me on something that I was mentioned, and like, you sort of get that, and it's like, oh, wow, this person's a listener, and then, oh, like, I want to be on my podcast. Like, yeah, I've got time to like listen to them and see what they're saying and stuff.
It makes a world of difference, and it doesn't really take that much more time. I just think people are doing things when it comes to earning media exposure. They're trying to take shortcuts, and there are no shortcuts anymore. It's very competitive. Like, we're talking about getting exposure without spending any money on advertising. It's extremely competitive. Just take extra 5 minutes to make it personal and not like you are a robot. And it does make a world of difference, regardless whether you're blasting everybody or you're taking the time to be a little bit more strategic. Building a brand through earned media takes time. And I promise you, you will get there faster if you pitch fewer people, because you're pitching them meaningfully instead of blasting them. I urge everybody to slow down to get further. That's honestly how it works in the industry.
Definitely. And I think something we haven't mentioned is that you might get some results from like sending out 100 emails, but those people will be someone that have a podcast that no one listens to, because of if you've got a podcast that people listen to, you get so many pitches like that you'll just ignore them straight away. So the only people that will accept are like, sure, you might have a great conversation on the podcast with them, but like no one's listening. And if you're doing it to get press and to be heard, then like you're actually kind of just wasting your time. It's like it'd be much better to spend more time pitching high quality people that will get you to like hundreds of thousands of listeners than to sort of spend all this time talking to hosts and you get like 200 listens after you've been on like 20 podcasts, because it's like such a silly thought of like how you spend your time and effort. I mean, sure, it's good practice to just interview on some podcasts that no one will hear if you've never done interviews before, perhaps, but
yeah, it's much better to spend the time making things higher quality and better than it is to sort of waste your time.
Yeah, it's definitely a quality over quantity game. And you do need quantity. Like, don't get me wrong. You do need to be in a lot of places at different times because, you know, people have to keep seeing you. You have to always be top of mind, but they're not going to see you, like you said, if you are on those super low quality outlets. You have to mix the both.
Sure. Okay. So in terms of general marketing thoughts, what's like your favorite brand that exists? Just because I'm kind of interested to see why people like things.
Oh, okay. Ooh, this is a good question. Okay. The marketing that I like. Well, I love, if we're going to talk about Twitter, I love Wendy's Twitter. Like, they're so snarky and funny and clever without being like insulting. And it's just entertaining to watch. And again, like when I think of Wendy's, like, and I really don't go to Wendy's. I can't remember the last time I was there, but I'll talk about Wendy's because I like their Twitter. So like they're top of mind in that sense. Marketing, which has nothing to do with media, but like Coke always has the cleverest things on their can. And they're always putting things on their can that are very like Instagram worthy. You know, like they put clever things. Remember when they were putting everybody's name?
Yeah, people
were buying Coke just because it had their name on it and taking pictures and like things like that, like very outside of the box. And even when things don't have a direct media component, it always ends up that way. Like people were taking their pictures with their Coke and putting it on Instagram. People were even making their Coke with their name, like their profile picture. So I think that was pretty cool. And then obviously Gary Vee, just like having a camera crew follow him around and having conversations with random people or just talking to himself and putting it out there. Like he understands that attention is currency. Even if it's, I don't want to say even if it's bad attention, it works, but no matter what you do, you're not going to please anybody or everybody. Mm-hmm. You're going to please some people. You're not going to please everybody. So you have to really, I mean, talking about mindset, you have to really be in this mindset that you are going to do you, and you have to accept the fact that some people are going to like it and some people aren't going to like it. And you have to be confident in that when you're putting stuff out there, because you have to put stuff out there and you have to get that attention, or else people aren't going to know about you and people can't do business with you if they don't know about you. So I think Gary Vee is really good at saying, look, here I am, take it or leave it, like it or not, it's fine, because the people who like it, they're keeping me in business. The people who don't like it, whatever, move on to somebody else. So I think he's another good one to watch as well.
Yeah, and being sort of divisive is fine, because the people that like you will like understand why they like you and really like you. As you try to please everyone, you're not really that interesting.
And you can't please, I mean, no matter what you do, you could try to please everyone. You could literally be like, I'm going to just post about things that will please everybody, and you still won't please everybody. So you really just have to, like, you do you. You know, even the biggest, most famous, most successful people have tons of haters. And that's part of what keeps them successful. I mean, I did a TEDx talk where I talked about fake news, and I used the example of the Kardashians, right? They're super famous, super rich. And they owe a lot of that to their haters. If you ever see a story about any of the Kardashian or Jenner clan, and you look at the comments, most of them are negative. But what the commenters don't realize is that they are bumping up engagement for that post.
So that's preparing in the news, because people talk about it and want to hear about it.
They're not, listen, the people in the news, they're not looking at your comments. They're not looking at your emails. They're looking at engagement. They're looking at viewers. They're looking at clicks. And the ones who get the most, that's what they're going to keep on showing you, because the most viewers, the most clicks, the most downloads, that's what brings in the most money. So the haters, by engaging so much, they're the ones keeping these people famous. So if you have haters, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's probably a good thing.
Sure. Okay. So moving on, in terms of projects that you've worked on, what would you say has been the most effective campaign that you've been a part of?
I can give you a specific example of one. And this was before I started an agency. These were one of my very first clients as a professional freelancer. I think I found them on Upwork. It was two guys who created a fitness app. It was a running app. So, you know, if you live in different countries, then you could race each other virtually with this app. And they hired a PR agency and they got nowhere. So then they hired me. And I said, well, show me what your last PR guy did. And he just created long press releases that talked about the fitness app. I said, look, this isn't going to work because there's a million fitness apps. So like, what's another one? And he's like, oh, well, it's different. And this is why. Well, they're all going to say they're different and have a reason why they're different. Let's talk about you. It was two founders. One guy was a personal trainer. The other guy used to be overweight and lost half his body weight running. I said, great. We're going to tell those stories. We're going to tell your story about how you lost a bunch of weight and created an app. And the other guy, we're going to get him coverage for being an expert in fitness because he's a personal trainer. So that's how we got them coverage. We didn't even pitch the media with their amazing new app. Instead, we pitched them and their personal stories. And as they were talking, it came out that they had a fitness app. So the personal trainer, whenever he was quoted as the co-founder of the app, and it got hyperlinked. Whenever we told the guy's story about how he lost a bunch of weight and he did it running, they always found out about the app and he always talked about the app. And we got them in 3 months, TV in Washington, D.C., which is a top 10 market, the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, the Today Show, which at the time was the biggest morning show with millions of viewers, Women's Running, Runner's World, which was their number one outlet. That's 7 huge outlets in just 3 months. And we got them in a lot more than that, but those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head. And when you can share that media on your social media, on your website, then people are interested. Then you have that credibility and you stand out from everybody else. But I think the big takeaway here is that they wanted promotion for their fitness app, but that's not what we pitched because that's not newsworthy. We pitched this guy's cool personal story and we pitched the other guy's expertise in the industry. And as a side effect, the app got its promotion.
Cool. That's really interesting. That's very relevant for me at the moment. That's kind of what I'm trying to do. So I'm launching an app. I have kind of like an interesting life story. I sort of started a few businesses. I traveled the world. I went to North Korea and hitchhiked across Kazakhstan and nearly died a few times. And I've done a TEDx speech on like mental health and technology and stuff. But I'm now building a podcasting app that lets you connect with your friends in the app and listen together at the same time. And so you can like share your listening experiences or you can catch up on the same things and like talk about it and actually like have someone to talk about the ideas that you have as you're listening rather than just being in your own like quiet silo. But it's sort of trying to find the best ways to get the news out about it and kind of drive promotion and sort of, do I go just on my story or do I kind of talk about both things? Because it's got like a mental health aspect and so I'm a bit confused. So advice?
You could totally do both because you could pitch both angles to different outlets because, you know, you have to think you can pitch just to podcasting audiences, right? People who listen to podcasts. You can pitch to mental health audiences. You could pitch to travel audiences because the goal is to get in front of as many people as possible, but you can't pitch the same thing to the same people all the time. So for example, with these guys, we were doing two different angles all the time. One guy was sharing his expertise. The other guy was sharing his fitness story. We do the same thing with all of our clients. We have one client who has jewelry. She started a jewelry line. So we pitch that to fashion and accessories. We also pitch her story as a female entrepreneur to other female entrepreneurs, to other business outlets. So you don't have to stick with the one pitch to the same outlet. You have different layers and you can pitch those different things to different places at different times.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Will do. Then on the subject of trying to get like quotes and stuff from people, is that helpful? Because we've had like a few big names, but like, do you think that really makes a difference when you decide to like take things on if someone's got like some quotes of someone saying this was a great app or not?
No, I mean, I think it does. Like you see that in books a lot, right? Like people put it on the back cover and the front cover, what other people are saying about this author. I mean, it's like a testimonial and people like that because again, just like earning media, it's somebody else tooting your horn. It's not you tooting your own horn. So I think it's a good idea.
Cool. Would you be able to give me a testimonial?
Sure. Of course. I know you. I like you. I trust you. I'm on your podcast. Of course.
Thanks. And then how about like coming on your podcast?
Yeah, totally. Pitch me. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. Make me pitch me. Let's see how well you've been listening, Sam. send me an email. Or on LinkedIn, you reached out to me on LinkedIn, but we have each other's emails now. So send me an email with some talking points. Give me some ideas and some talking points so I can visualize what the conversation would be like. I haven't talked a lot about mental health and mindfulness. So I would love to get into that and how it relates to technology. Like, yeah. So give me your talking points because that's not in my wheelhouse, but I know I would like to do an episode on that because it's important and I haven't done one yet. So send me some talking points and we can get it scheduled.
Thanks. Exciting.
Yeah.
And if you do have a podcast, back to the sort of how to get onto other podcasts, is like doing podcast swaps and sort of promoting the other person. It's always a good start.
And people like that. I guess I started being a guest on podcast years before I started my own. And then after I started my own, I didn't know that was like a thing. Like I didn't know you asked for a podcast swap. And it does work really well because again, it's like you scratch my back, I scratch yours. But again, it's like that whole, after you're in the media exposure, share it with people. Like people are grateful for you to introduce them to your audience. I think it's great. It's something that I just started doing a little bit more of or being more mindful of because it does really work well.
Yeah, definitely. And it makes sense because of people that listen to podcasts are like the people that are more likely to listen to your podcast. So as in people that listen to my podcast on marketing, are probably interested to find out more about like PR and podcasting, and having heard you, be like actually probably willing to go and listen to your podcast if they like what you said, and vice versa. If I kind of want to talk about like mental health and mindsets and they've got some things that they want to work on, like, maybe they'll come to mine. And it's nice for your listeners and mine. So why not? Anyway, distracting myself. After the best campaign, the question was supposed to be, what was the worst campaign you've worked on?
Good question. I think the most challenging one that I had, and it's actually how I started building a team because I brought somebody on to help me because it was a struggle. It was a client who was in the pharmaceutical industry. And we started working together right before the 2016 election. And that in itself was a total circus. And the people writing about healthcare were writing about that. So again, when you're trying to get people in the news cycle very much affects what gets in the news when you're pitching clients. And the news cycle then was a struggle. So I brought somebody on to help me. So that was difficult just because of the timing and what was happening in the news. We see a lot of this happening right now with the coronavirus. I've had a few clients pull out because they're just nervous. Like I had one pull out because her favorite thing to do was TV. She likes to travel and be in TV stations and do TV interviews. Nobody's doing that anymore. We could still get her online. We could still get her on podcasts, but she specifically wanted TV only. So she pulled out. So we lost a client because of that. But on the flip side, we have a couple of restaurant clients who were closed for a couple of months, but we got them a whole bunch of coverage because we were creative and we thought outside the box and people were talking a lot about restaurants. So we were able to get them a lot of coverage. But I would say like my worst experiences, I actually just recorded a podcast of the worst clients that I've had. Cool. And they all kind of have like the same traits. And they're the ones that, you know, they don't listen to your expectations. They think that they can hire you. And then in a day, you're going to be on national news. And then the next day, you're going to be a big superstar. Like they don't listen to your expectations, or they just want to kind of take over and do everything themselves because they're scared or they're nervous and they don't really listen to your expertise. So that's another struggle sometimes. I mean, they're all different. Like every single client is different. Every single goal is different. The news cycle is constantly changing. So no two negative experiences are going to be the same. But if we're talking about client traits that are negative or that are the worst, it would be the ones that just don't listen to you. And I know this is true for any industry. Like you hire somebody and I don't know if it's because you're nervous or because you just don't know what you don't know, or you want to believe something works a different way and you just don't listen to the person that you hired. And it's like, no, like this is the industry that I've been in for a while. My team is very good at what they're doing. Listen to us. We can't get you on Oprah tomorrow if you've gotten nowhere and I Google you and I see nothing in results. Like we need to start slow and work our way up. Like a lot of clients don't want to listen to this. They're impatient. They want to go straight to the top instead of working their way up there. So I think that's probably something that makes for a bad client experience.
Sure. Cool. Thanks. Okay. And then what do you think is going to be sort of the future of publicity? Like in 5 years' time, how are people going to be getting famous?
That's a good question. Definitely. I mean, podcasts just continue to grow. So I definitely think, and this is another reason that I was like, all right, I waited 3 years for somebody to build something like Podcast Clout. And then finally I said, all right, let's just do it because the industry is growing like crazy. So I think podcasting is going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to be a way for people to build their brands. I also think there's going to be more pay to play. So in things that were just the news and it was easy to get coverage there, lots of people are paying for that coverage because people aren't paying attention to advertising the way they used to. When we know something's an ad, we tune out because we know people are just paying to be there. Maybe they don't deserve to be there. Maybe they're not worthy of being there, and that's why they're paying. So people aren't advertising like they used to. So these media companies are disguising ads to make it look like earned media coverage. And I think we're going to see more of that. This also works with affiliate marketing. I know my clients that have products like bracelets, for example, when we pitch them to media outlets, they'll say, okay, great. Do you have an affiliate program? So if anybody reads our article and they click on a link to buy our bracelet, we get 10% of all sales. I think you're going to see more of that as well because these media companies are hurting for money because of the way people have stopped paying attention to advertising. They need to get more creative about the way they're making money.
Yeah, definitely. So certainly there's a lot of podcast agencies now that will get you booked onto podcasts that you have to pay like sort of quite a lot per podcast booking kind of thing. And it seems a bit odd that they're making money when like the podcast hosts aren't. And there are a few now of the bigger podcasts that do actually charge people to come and guest on them and stuff. And
yes,
you're kind of seeing that happen, whereas like a few years ago, it just didn't exist at all.
But, I understand the podcast booking agencies. They're like PR agencies. Yeah, they just focus on podcasts. I don't like, and I actually just released a blog post this week as we're recording this on podcastclout.com about the pay to play on podcasts. And I don't like it on podcasts. And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of these people, they say, okay, I'm going to charge you to be on my podcast, but then they don't tell you why they're charging you. Like if you're going to charge, like, I don't care, charge me, fine, but tell me why. How many downloads do you have? What's your demographic? Like if you're going to sell an ad, like you're a media company, then you need to act like a media company selling an ad. I want to see your media kit and I want to know your numbers because that's how you sell ads. And a lot of these podcast hosts, they're charging people to be on their podcast and they're not releasing any of that information. They're just saying, I have a podcast and I'm going to charge you. That's what a lot of, you know, so-called influencers do on Instagram and their blogs. I have a blog, so I'm going to charge you to be on it. I have Instagram. I'm going to charge you for a post. Well, go in, let me see how many people are following you. How many people are engaging? What are your demographics? Like if you're going to sell an ad, you need to be prepared to share that information. And if you're going to sell an ad and not share that, then you shouldn't be selling anything.
Yeah, cool. Is there anything that we haven't spoken about that you would like to mention?
Your listeners can find out more about me online. I'm at Christina Onde on social media. And I have the Become a Media Maven podcast, which Sam, you will soon be on as a guest. Give me your talking points. And if your listeners want to, I have a 3-day video series that they can attend and they can get a pitch that one of my online course clients sent to a TV station in San Diego that ended in a 5-minute live segment on TV. And then literally the day after, she was making brand deals on her blog because some brand saw her on TV. She became literally in their mind an instant influencer. And they said, hey, we want you to talk about our products on your blog. So I'm going to share the exact pitch and that whole process, how it all happened in 3 days at pitchpublicityprofit.com. So I think your listeners would really benefit from seeing that.
Cool. Thanks so much. Any short life quotey things that is something that like a principle that you try and live your life by that you could leave us with?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Just to put you on the spot.
I like how you call them life quotey things. That's going to be that's going to be my new quote, life quotey things. I think the biggest thing, I don't know if this is like a life quotey thing, but just like you do you. I think there's so much, and maybe you'll get into this on my podcast when we talk about technology and mindset, but I think there's too much looking at what everybody's doing and comparing. and you're only seeing like the tip of the iceberg. You're not seeing everything underneath. So I think like you just do you. Don't be concerned with other people. Stay in your own lane. Focus on yourself. And you'll get further faster and you'll be much happier while you're doing it. And that's maybe another quotey thing is to enjoy the process. Like when I started my business, I was so focused on the goal and I was miserable when I got to the goal because I was just like, get to the goal, get to the goal. And then when I got to the goal, I just moved the goalpost. So I was never enjoying the process. And it's like, that's where you spend all of your time is in the process. So like, just chill out and have fun and enjoy it while you're doing it. Because when you get to the goal, you're just going to set a new one anyway. So you might as well enjoy the process.
Yeah. I'm a huge believer in that. Definitely. Thanks.
That's a little newer to me. I'm not going to lie. In the last couple of years, I didn't learn that until I was in business and started working with my first business coach. And I was like, oh, look, this doesn't have to be miserable. If I just know what I'm doing as I'm doing it, like, and I don't put so much pressure on myself, like I could actually enjoy this whole thing. So yeah. So I love that.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah, life is definitely quite short and like every moment is completely unique and like it only happens once. If you can't enjoy that moment, it seems like a bit of a waste. And
yeah,
you may as well spend your life more in the moment rather than waiting for things. So thanks so much for coming on. This has been a great podcast and then sadly it is now over, but I think we both enjoyed it as it happened. So look forward to the next one.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.